The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Florence Nash from Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the November issue of Money Magazine and also probably from the November issue of the AARP Bulletin. And today's programming is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic. Salibi Chiropractic welcomes the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. You can call them at 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. Now we're starting in Money Magazine, we're starting with an article called A Solo Senior's Guide to Happiness. A growing number of people are facing retirement by themselves. Here's how to prosper and live life to the fullest when it's a party of one. This is written by Elizabeth O'Brien. Carol Marrick helped her aging parents for a total of 6 years, frequently driving the 125 miles between her home in Dallas and theirs in the city of West Texas to shop, clean, cook, and do other tasks for them. "I realize there are so many demands in giving care to an older person," says Marrick, now 67. "I don't have family to do that for me." So in February 2016, she started the Elder Orphans Facebook group, which has since grown to 8,400 members. "I just wanted to know who else is out there like me," says Marrick, who works as an editor for SeniorCare.com. Turns out there are many Americans like Marrick, preparing to age without a spouse or adult children who can help. Some prefer the term solo senior to refer to this demographic, whose ranks are growing. 22% of people 65 and over are either an elder orphan or at risk of becoming one, according to research by Dr. Maria Toruella Carney, Chief of Geriatric and Palliative Medicine at Northwell Health in Great Neck, New York. Only 12% of the women who were 80 to 84 years old in 2010 were childless, but that will increase to 16% for that same age range in 2030, according to a report by AARP. As big as it is, the Elder Orphans Facebook group remains an exclusive club. Marrick estimates she's turned down some 10,000 requests for entry so far, based on applicants' responses to three basic screening questions and her perusal of their pages. "I'm tough and vet that closely," she says. She spends about 30 minutes a day moderating the site, down from 2 hours daily when she first started. Marrick requires that prospective members be age 55 or over, unmarried, and without nearby children. Baby boomers like her face more challenges in older age than their parents did. "We are not a generation with pensions, and we've already spent our inheritance," says Sheila Zubrod, 71, a former advertising executive in Washington, D.C., and the founder of AgingSolo.com, a website in development that aims to connect childless baby boomers. Planning for older age is key, no matter what your family circumstance. But if you don't have kin in a position to help, advance planning becomes even more critical, experts say. Most of the caregiving research assumes that you'll have a family to take care of you. Not everyone does, says Ann P. Glass, a gerontology professor at the University of North Carolina at Wilmington. Needless to say, this can be frightening. Members of the Elder Orphans Facebook group seek solace from one another, asking advice about everything from revocable trust to worries about leaving the working world to what to cook on a weeknight when delivery pizza won't cut it anymore. "It's been impossible in my current life to find folks who can understand what I'm facing, being 64, never married, no kids, nephews, or other relatives in my life," one member wrote. "I foolishly counted on my family or friends to be around in my senior years, but they all have spouses, kids, and grandkids, plus oodles of other relatives, and tell me they are too busy to be involved with me." This may seem depressing, and at times it can be, but there's hope for any seniors staring down a solo future. You have to build the infrastructure around yourself to compensate for the fact that you don't have family, says Ken Morafe, senior advisor at Money Matters, a financial planning firm in Dallas. Your safety net should include both friends, ideally some who are in the same situation as you, and paid professionals. Here's how you assemble your team. Establish a buddy system. 53% of solo seniors have no one to call if they're confined to bed, according to a survey of 408 members in the Elder Orphans Facebook group. Another common concern for members is having no one to drive them home from medical procedures. If you don't have people to call on, it might be time to rethink your living situation. Marek recently moved from her three-bedroom house in the suburbs into a big apartment building in uptown Dallas. She's organizing events for residents of her building, many of whom are retirees, with an eventual goal of creating a buddy system where folks can bring food to sick people and otherwise help one another out. The Elder Orphans Facebook group has also formed local meetups, and members get together in real life for lunch and other activities. Looking for opportunities to connect in your community is key. Whether it's a weekly worship service, a bridge game at a senior center, or volunteering at a soup kitchen, find an activity you like and show up regularly so people will notice when you're not there. Wilbur Rep, an 84-year-old widower in Renton, Washington, meets for breakfast 6 days a week with a group of former teachers and policemen. "It gives us something to look forward to in the morning," he says. "If he doesn't show up, members will call him to make sure everything's all right." Also, help community members before you require help yourself. One 89-year-old may drive and another may not, says Edwin L. Gaskin, a financial planner and founder of Your Financial Architects, a financial advisory firm in Elkridge, Maryland. "It's really important to establish those relationships before you need them," he says. Seek safeguards. Lisa Laney, an aging life care professional in Asheville, North Carolina, has a just-in-case drawer in her desk. It's filled with the files of potential future clients, older adults who are managing fine now, but who contacted her anticipating that they might need help in the future. Her services include helping older people navigate the medical system, accompanying them to doctor's appointments, and arranging for in-home care. Laney, who has a master's degree in social work, can also help with non-medical tasks, such as screening handymen to do work around clients' houses. She estimates that about 80% of the folks in her just-in-case drawer are elder orphans. She likes to see them for a visit once every 6 months to a year to see if anything in their situation has changed. Hourly rates for geriatric care managers range widely from about $80 an hour up to around $350 an hour in higher-cost areas of the country. Laney says many of her clients haven't considered drawing up a health care power of attorney, which is used to name someone to make medical decisions on their behalf if they are no longer able to do so. Every person age 18 and over should appoint a health care agent, also known as a proxy, but it's especially important for people who don't have family to accompany them to the hospital. You also need a living will, a document that outlines what type of medical interventions you might want or reject, such as help with breathing if you can no longer breathe on your own. Many states bundle the proxy designation and the living will into one form. For her part, Marek has named her two older sisters as agents in her health care power of attorney. She knows she might have to change that in the future if they become unwell themselves, but she feels secure for now. Since one sister is 6 years older and the other is nearly 10 years older, Marek isn't counting on them for hands-on assistance in the future. One of the most valuable lessons Marek says she learned from administering the Elder Orphans Facebook group is that it's important to make plans, and it's equally important to realize that plans can evolve over time. "I've learned how to think through the healthcare proxy," she says. As an extra safeguard, Linda Adler, founder and CEO of Pathfinders, a medical advocacy and consulting firm in Northern California, recommends that people carry a laminated card in their wallet listing the name and phone number of their primary care physician, along with all their current medications and dosages. I don't want my clients to be anonymous when something bad happens, she says. Make sure your primary care doctor knows your wishes, Adler says, so he or she is better positioned to help in an emergency. Fine-tune your finances. Wilbur Rep has his estate all planned out. A retired teacher, Rep built a considerable side business as a property manager. Working through a charitable organization in the greater Tacoma area, Rep has made plans upon his death to have his 30 buildings sold and have the proceeds dedicated to scholarships for local students who might otherwise fall through the cracks. I don't have any pressing heirs for my estate, he says. It's for the student who is overlooked in the classroom. There's always two or three like that. For the disposition of his assets, Rep found a trusted partner in a local charitable group. It's important to have people you trust, but they don't have to be relatives. Michael Amoruso, an elder law attorney in Rye Brook, New York, has clients who have named long-term neighbors in their apartment buildings to be their proxy in medical and financial matters. Just as you've named a health care proxy, you'll want to give someone financial power of attorney to handle your money matters if you are no longer able to do so yourself. You could name more than one person if you want for checks and balances. Monitoring services like Eversafe will, for a fee, monitor your bank and credit card accounts for irregular activity and alert a trusted person if fraud is suspected. Estate plans usually involve what's known as a durable power of attorney. These allow the trusted individual, legally the agent, to retain power of attorney even when the person who created the document, the principal, has become incapacitated. It is important that you create your power of attorney when you are still in full command of your faculties. If you don't and you become unable to take care of yourself, then the court system will appoint a legal guardian for you. You lose total controls, says Amoruso, who serves as president of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. Another way to retain some control over your future care is to purchase a long-term care insurance policy. The median cost of a home health aide is $4,100 a month, and the cost of a semi-private nursing home room is $7,148 a month, according to the 2017 Genworth Cost of Care Survey. Consumers with over $2 million of investable assets can generally afford to self-insure against the risk of needing these services, financial advisors say, but those with less should at least consider their options. Gloria Gottlieb, president and registered financial consultant at Your Consultants, an independent insurance broker in New York City, says her firm helps clients fill out the required paperwork when the time comes to claim their benefits, a service that can be particularly useful for those without family to assist. Trusts can also protect people who are aging solo. You can work with an attorney to set up a revocable trust and place all your assets into the trust. You will likely become the trustee of your own trust, but if you become unable to manage your own affairs, then a successor trustee steps in and the trust can switch from a revocable trust into an irrevocable trust, Amoruso says. Those who have no close associates to appoint as successor trustee can name a corporate trustee, like a bank, to this position. Some of Amoruso's clients work with Midland Trust in Tarrytown, New York, which charges an annual fee based on assets starting from 1.25% on the first $1 million and then declining as the balance rises, says Linda A. Mahon, vice president and trust officer. The company includes many services in this fee, such as visiting the home to sort through financial paperwork and tracking down clients' unclaimed pensions. Recalling one particularly complicated situation, Mahon says, "We were calling Singapore at one point." Trustees have a legal obligation, known as a fiduciary duty, to uphold your wishes as outlined in the legal documents. Bonus. Done properly, this structure can help your estate avoid probate. For day-to-day help with your finances, a daily money manager can pay your bills, balance your checkbook, organize your tax papers, and even help with your medical claims. Barbara Boosted, a social worker and daily money manager in Madison, has a number of elder orphans as clients. She chooses not to assume financial power of attorney, instead working side by side with her clients. But some daily money managers do take on that role. Trust officers can also pay bills for clients. Mahon says her firm has taken over bill paying for a client who is around 90 years old and mentally sharp, but is losing her eyesight to macular degeneration. These services can be invaluable for those who can afford them. Those who can't might have to think more creatively. At this stage of life, my resources are thin, says Elaine Bearden, 61, of Waco, Texas. She plans to open her home to boarders to help defray costs and to create networks of friends who can help one another manage as they get older. Perhaps most important, successful solo aging may require a mind shift for some people. In our society, we tend to put so much value on being independent, says Glass, the gerontology professor. I would argue that you're better off being interdependent, especially as you get older. And now, still in Money Magazine, let's switch over to another topic. This is Best Places to Retire Now by Shana Mishkin and Alana Akhtar. If you're approaching retirement, you probably have an image of how you'll spend your days after you leave the office, whether that's perfecting your golf game, watching the waves, or learning a new skill. But before you can start daydreaming about retirement, there's one essential question to answer. Where will you live? For some retirees, staying put can make the most sense, especially if friends and family are nearby. But if your dream destination isn't your current town, there's probably a reason. There may be economic considerations like cutting down on expenses or factors motivated by a favorite hobby or ambition. Money scoped out some great places to settle for all kinds of retirees, no matter what your plans or interests. So first on their list, for belt tighteners, there's Coweta, Oklahoma. That's spelled C-O-W-E-T-A. I'm uncertain about the pronunciation. If you're aiming to save your nest egg for hotels abroad or other bucket list items, Coweta, a suburb about a half hour southeast of Tulsa, can help you stretch your dollars with one of the lowest cost of living in the country. At $188,000, Coweta's median home price was among the most affordable of those in all the towns we evaluated. Plus, the average home price was just 2.6 times as high as the local median family income, an entire percentage point less than the national average income-to-home price ratio. Not only are your day-to-day expenses low, but the 5.8% sales tax is one of the lowest in our database. The average property tax, meanwhile, is about $1,655 per year. Spend some of your hefty savings at one of the area's favorite eateries, like Dixie's Cafe, Roy's Fried Chicken, or the Fish Shack. And check out some of the activities in Coweta's downtown Broadway district. Browse antiques at Off the Beaten Path Vintage Mercantile, or meet other community members at annual events like the Coweta Fall Festival Parade or the Summertime Patriotic Festival, which features a fireworks display. And it says, also consider Bartlett, Tennessee, and Westchester, Ohio. Now, for water lovers, if you're seeking an oceanside retirement, Torrance, California is a great option. This city in the South Bay region of Los Angeles County boasts 1.5 miles of beach along the Southern California shore without all the crowds of L.A. beaches to the north and Long Beach to the south. Besides swimming and sunbathing, the beach allows for activities like scuba diving, fishing, and surfing. Try cycling down the Strand, the SoCal coastal bike path that originates in Torrance. The city also features access to a high concentration of hospitals within a 15-mile radius. WalletHub ranked Torrance as the top place to retire in the state, owing to the area's top-notch health care, low cost of living, and number of senior centers per capita. Plus, Torrance provides subsidized taxi services for disabled citizens or those age 65 and older, and seasonal excursions designed for those 50 and older. While not too pricey by California standards, Torrance's cost of living is about 63% higher than the national average, according to PayScale, with a median home price of $829,500 in 2018. And in this category of water lovers, also consider Pembroke Pines, Florida, and Louisville, Texas. Now, for cultural offerings, they recommend North Hempstead, New York. History buffs hoping to retire in one of the cradles of American culture should look no farther than North Hempstead in Nassau County on Long Island. During the American Revolution, rebels used the town as a meeting place to lay the groundwork for secession from England. Army aviators in World War I used Hempstead planes to train, and not long after, F. Scott Fitzgerald tapped Sands Point, one of North Hempstead's incorporated villages, as the setting for The Great Gatsby. To immerse yourself in the area's rich history, head to one of its museums or landmarks. The Polish American Museum in nearby Port Washington displays folk art and historical artifacts, including a room dedicated to Polish Nobel laureates like Marie Curie, while the Nassau County Museum of Art features work from Jean-Michel Basquiat. What's more, North Hempstead is a short train or bus ride away from the major cultural hub of New York City. North Hempstead also offers discounted transportation services to senior citizens. And in this category, you may also consider Clifton, New Jersey, and Monterey Park, California. Next is for sports fans. For this, they recommend Bloomfield, New Jersey. The leafy New Jersey township of Bloomfield may not have many sports teams of its own, but its many parks and proximity to New York City mean residents can toss the football one day and see their favorite professional team play the next. MetLife Stadium, the home of two New York football teams, is a nine-mile drive from the heart of the township, while Madison Square Garden's famed basketball court is just a 30-minute train ride away via one of Bloomfield's two New Jersey transit lines. Hockey fans can watch a New Jersey Devils game at the nearby Prudential Center, or travel a little farther to see the New York Islanders play at Brooklyn's Barclays Center. You can also catch a baseball game at Yankee Stadium or Citi Field via public transportation. Bloomfield isn't just a place for spectators. The township is home to numerous parks and recreation facilities equipped for basketball, tennis, baseball, and more. And in this category, they recommend that you also consider Goodyear, Arizona, and Drainesville, Virginia. And then next, for outdoor enthusiasts, they recommend Scottsdale, Arizona. More retirees are moving to Arizona than almost any other state, according to a recent Smart Asset interpretation of census data. If you are one of the many people intrigued by the Copper State's dry heat, mild winters, and abundance of scenery, you may want to consider moving to Scottsdale. The Phoenix suburb is known for its resort-like atmosphere with a bustling downtown, plentiful spas, and golf courses galore. But perched on the edge of Tonto National Forest, Scottsdale is also an excellent place to spend time in nature. The city's parks are home to numerous trails, many of which allow hiking and horseback riding. Scottsdale has dedicated bikeways ideal for retirees who enjoy cycling. Those living in Scottsdale can take advantage of the city's proximity to the Desert Botanical Garden, home to 50,000 desert plants, and the Salt River, a calm body of water perfect for kayaking. With nearly half its residents over the age of 50, Scottsdale plays host to myriad meetup groups and clubs dedicated to staying active. You might also consider Western Florida and Sandy, Utah. Next category is golfers, for which they recommend Wellington, Florida. thanks to its 234 days of clear skies and proximity to Palm Beach County's plethora of golf courses and country clubs, Wellington is a golfer's paradise. Residents can choose from a whopping 220 nearby golf courses, including the award-winning Wellington National Golf Club, designed by Golf Hall of Famer Johnny Miller. Wycliffe Golf and Country Club boasts two 18-hole premier championship courses, plus public and private lessons for newbies to the sport. Equestrians and animal lovers will enjoy the town's annual Winter Equestrian Festival, the largest and longest-running horse show in the world. The 12-week contest hosts 6,000 horses and participants from more than 42 countries. Both residents and guests can attend events and competitions from January to April. Soak up the sunny weather at the city's nearby beaches. Lie out on Lake Worth Municipal Beach or stroll over to the William O. Lockhart Municipal Pier to try your hand at fishing. Bring the grandchildren to the Lakeside Family Fun Days, which offer free kayaking and other activities. For a bite to eat, visit the iconic Benny's on the beach for fish and chips or shrimp and grits. And in this category, you might also consider Peoria, Arizona, and Whittier, California. Now, we've got two more categories. One is an ideal place for encore workers, people who want a second career after retirement, for which they recommend Flower Mound, Texas. And then for lifelong learners, they recognize Des Plaines, Illinois, because it's a great place because of the public universities for retirees to continue their education. I don't think with the time remaining we've got time to read both of these descriptions, however. We'll do the one from Flower Mound, Texas. If you're considering a career after your career, you're not alone. By 2024, 13 million people aged 65 and older are expected to participate in the workforce, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, up 44% from the nearly 9 million seniors working today. If re-entering the labor force fits into your post-retirement plans, Flower Mound is as good a place as any to do just that. Boosted by the huge growth of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the northern Texas city is one of the fastest-growing markets in the U.S., with jobs projected to grow 16.1% by 2026. The city's Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital is one of Flower Mound's largest employers, but other well-known names, like electronics chain Best Buy and the communications division of medical technologies company Stryker, also have large presences in the city. Positions from caregiver to bookkeeper are listed on retirementjobs.com, a job board for adults 50 and older. And for encore workers, you might also consider Ashburn, Virginia, and Palm Coast, Florida. And then under the lifelong learners' ideal cities to retire to, which we're not going to have time to describe, the main one being Des Plaines, Illinois, the recommendations for this category, in addition, are Wayne, New Jersey, and Newton, Massachusetts. And I'm sorry we don't have to go into detail about this last category today, but it's looking like we've just about run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I hope you'll listen next time and that you've enjoyed today. I'm Florence Nash, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's programming is generously underwritten by Salibi Chiropractic, and they welcome the geriatric community with any neck, back, or hip issues. Call them at 919-782-4733. That's 919-782-4733. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time.